First two lines.
Growing you.
I've broke with you, and his hand hold you tight. May the eye of God rest on you, and hear you cry. May the smile of God be for you, and his breath give you life. May the child of God grow in you, and the love bring you home.
Oh, we are singing three times.
Just try once with chord. Then maybe give us a
this is eight.
One, two, three.
Maybe give us like four.
May the feet of God walk with.
Try again. unison and then two times in with harmonies.
Yep.
Okay, we better check.
A cappella.
And a cappella last time?
Oh.
I like it with the guitar,
you
just with the
guitar.
I prefer
okay.
Is that alright?
So. Yeah.
Should we try the first one? What's Bring Many Names? I've forgotten how this goes already. I think that would be a no.
Is it in? Is it in the?
No. Do you have the book? He can have that.
It should be in the book, but my
sorry, I'll look at
it. You prefer this one? I know this one's pretty well.
Oh, do you know it?
It's pretty simple.
Okay.
That's gonna be your challenge.
I'm probably gonna harmonize that one.
I think I like that to be like. Yeah, I know, I have got the lyrics. Yeah.
Let's quickly try and do it. Sorry? Well, what if you start on guitar, Austin, and then the piano can come in?
Beautiful and good, celebrating parable and story, holiness in glory, living for the God. Hail and Hosanna, bring.
Okay. Need to run through this one. Sorry.
Good to be. apologise for the lateness in start. We're learning about how much people do that aren't here right today and how they keep us going. So what I wanted to say is welcome to worship, to a place of contemplation and seeking. We are all welcome here, as we are, wherever we may be on the journey of life and faith. And God said, it is good. It is very good. Zoe is going to lead us in a song of acknowledgement of country. So we'll get the mic organised.
So as part of our communion service today, and as we know, when we are gathering with communion, we're also gathering our stories and experiences from the week. And Zoe's going to share the acknowledgement of country that she sings in grade one every day before school starts. So the whole class has been learning this. So Zoe's going to share it with us. And if you'd like to join in, the words are on the booklet. And it's to the tune of Frere Jacques. Are you ready?
Boonerong people, Boonerong people, custodians of this land, custodians of this land. We respect and learn from you, we respect and learn from you the stories you share, the stories you share. Care for country, care for country, love our land, love our land. People, plants and animals, we are a community. We promise we'll look after this land.
Very good.
Wasn't that brilliant? And given it's Frere Jacques, we can all go home and learn it. That's fantastic. Thanks, Zoe. I invite you to come in prayer. God of journeys and invitations, we dare to venture out into the unknown, to the edges of our wildernesses, where you will be there to guide us. We come to be led and encouraged. We come to find answers to questions we didn't even know we had. We come to find you, steadfast and true. We come to be found. Amen. To start our worship, we're going to read Psalm 121 together, and it's on your sheet. I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? The Holy One will not allow your foot to stumble. Your guardian will never sleep. No, Israel's guardian will neither slumber or of sleep. The Holy One is indeed your guardian, your shade at your right hand. The Holy One will guide you from every evil and protect your very being. Okay, let's have community sharing. So invite people up to share what's important to their minds and prayer points. And I just ask you, we're running a bit late, so if you could be brief, and if people need to catch up afterwards, that'd be great.
I might share from here. Good morning. This week? On Friday, I'm finally going to have cataract surgery. On this eye, I've been waiting for it for a long time. So just pray that that goes well, because I had real complications with this eye before, and that they don't cancel on me. So that would be really good. And school's going really well, so praise God.
I think I can speak up. A little bit of family news.
Thank you. And Nev is up in Yakandanda. No. Was it Yakandanda? Yep. And hopefully the wedding went well for his son. So they would have had lovely weather. Anne and Mark are in England. And we've got the Yarraville Festival happening. So we've got people down at Yarraville Festival. So if you feel like having a wander around the beautiful village of Yarraville, don't forget to drop in on our stall too. Okay. We're now going to have kids' address with Enos. We're going to have prayers for the world here. God, we come to you in our doubt, when questions arise, and when we are sure where to find our strength. We pray for your blessing in our boldness to dare to give voices to so many questions. We want to know so much, and it is hard to challenge the voices that put down and condemn our wondering. We listen for the wind to blow, to hear its sound howling through our souls with understanding and grace. God, we are newborns in our hope and confusion. Hear the deep yearnings of our heart. Open us and open in us the ways of genuine compassion. We'll have a time of silence where we can name what's on our hearts. We live in a world of stark and confusing contrasts, beauty and ugliness, generosity and impoverishment, hope and despair, honesty and deception. We turn to you, seeking in the stillness, the refuge and gift of silence, your presence, calm, beckoning voice, and renewing perspective. Guide us in our prayer. Strengthen us in our action for this, our community, and the world. In faith, hope, and love, we pray. Amen. Our first song is Bring Many Names, and it's a favourite one. And it's great to remember the many ways that God is seen in the world and seen in each of us. Bring many names, beautiful and good, celebrate in parable and story.
Feeling all the sweet and blue.
Jesus feeds the 5,000 from John 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is come into the world."
Thanks, Deb. I was originally asked to just run communion this morning, but then we weren't going to have a community discussion, so I volunteered to say a few words on what I thought communion was this morning. So bear with me. It won't be very long, so that's a good sign. It looks like the kids are having fun with their Legos. Guys, I'm looking forward at the end of this to see what you come up with, so good stuff. Would you just join me as I just pray before I share some of my reflections? Well, dear Lord, we just thank you for the ability to be in this space and to be able to reflect on you and reflect on our own lives and journeys. I pray that today's service will be meaningful and that people will take from it what they need in order to continue to follow you. Amen. Okay, so I guess for me, over the years I have been involved in communion, the ritual of communion, in many ways. I grew up in the Catholic Church, so as a little kid, I guess I viewed people taking communion for a number of years, and I remember as I watched them go up to take communion and bring it back to their seats, there was this sense that there was a real mystical element to it, and the people involved felt there was a mystical transformation, and it was an extremely sacred ritual for me to grow up watching. I then got into, I think it was about grade 3, when I made my Holy Communion, and I was able to partake in the sacrament and go up and take the bread and the wine. But I kind of feel like for many years the messaging in and around communion was a bit confusing for me, and I didn't quite understand what I was doing. But held in the grace of the church and the other people, you know, you go forward, you partake in the ritual, but you don't really unpack it as a small child or even perhaps a teenager. And I wonder for many of us here today, how important is taking communion or being part of communion to our spiritual identity? Is there something in this ritual that we do once a month here at Westgate Baptist Church that resonates with us? Or do we kind of feel like we're still that little kid not quite wondering what we're doing? Do we really know why we continue to take communion? Now, some of you might be aware that in a previous life, I was a Baptist minister. I like to call this my BZ period, before Zoe. I was a youth pastor for many years and then the minister of a number of churches. And I guess ministering in this way, being part of communities, is what helped me unpack or helped me feel like this sense of communion really exploded. I remember one night when Luke and I were youth pastors down in Melton. We used to run youth group every Friday night. And I remember one night doing communion with the kids, this bunch of teenagers. We had pizza and lemonade. It was very irreverent. But we said the words that much like we would on a Sunday morning, yet we shared with pizza and lemonade, not bread and wine. But what I found about that experience was, yes, it was a little irreverent, it was a little kind of left of centre, but the experiences we then had with those kids, the connection, the community that we were able to build, just by bringing in a ritual in a different way, was actually extremely meaningful. There were other times when I was a minister that I would take the portable communion kit to a nursing home and I would do the ritual much like I would in church, and I would give out the bread and the juice. But it wasn't actually the bread and the juice and the ritual that was the only thing of significance. It was the nourishment that those people living in the home felt. It was the sense of community that they felt coming together. It was the conversations, the talking about their journeys. And so for me, this sense of communion really started to enflesh itself in life a little bit more. As the years progressed, I started to think to myself, well, yes, I can understand what some of my lecturers at university are saying. I can understand what some of my mentors are saying. Communion is not just a sterile ritual on a Sunday, or perhaps not just a mystical ritual on a Sunday. It's that, you know, the plastic cup of water that Jenny and I would have with the little kids at Mainly Music and the bowls of fruit. You know, there's something magical, mystical about that. It's the cup of tea you shared with the craft group. It's the popcorn in the park with the mums and the kids after school on a Friday. But I kind of wanted more. I think that stuff's all lovely and all really nice and it's amazing. It opens up the table, so to speak. But I kind of really, really wanted more from what this ritual is. And I wanted to know, what else is God saying about our hospitality as communities? Why are we doing this? Is there more to it? And I just wanted to squeeze a bit more out the lemon, so to speak. So this week I kind of veered from our lectionary, and Deb read really nicely the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. 5,000 men, there was probably more than that. Women and children didn't usually get a mention in the Bible. So you think there was even more than 5,000. I was chatting to Zoe about it the other day and I said, you know, if it was 5,000, that's like 10 times the amount of kids at your school, and we're trying to figure it out in our heads how big this miracle, this story was. So one reason I veered away from the lectionary and thought I'll bring this story up is, A, Jesus was always feeding people, wasn't he? He's either feeding people or eating with people he shouldn't be eating with, but there was always, you know, making wine at weddings. There was always a party when Jesus was around. So I thought this was a really good illustration of Jesus feeding people. But not only that, it's a beautiful illustration of Jesus nourishing so many people in one sitting. And it's a pretty cool miracle. So I just wanted to sort of look at it. But this, just think about it for a second. There's this situation where there's a lack of hope. There's all these people following him. They're really hungry. He's either going to have to send them away. And one of the disciples is like, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people? But Jesus offers this abundance in the face of little hope. And I kind of feel like that's the space we sometimes find ourselves in. But then there was something else about this story that jumped out at me for the first time, and I think I can probably blame Anne Wilkinson Hayes. I reckon she's probably mentioned it before, and I'm just ripping off one of her sermons. But don't tell her that. She's not here today. But the thing that jumped out at me most about this passage this morning was the image of the little boy and his lunch. He's got his oat rolls or his rolls and his fish. This small child in this large crowd was the provider of the goodness. He was kind of the one on the side. He probably came with his mum or his dad. He probably didn't have much idea why everyone was gathering. Sort of looking at him, what are you guys doing? You know, I'm going to get my lunch out now. But here he was, the carrier of the sacred meal, the carrier of the miracle. He was the carrier of the nourishment. And then Jesus uses this small child's lunch to nourish everybody. He doesn't just say, okay, you've got the rolls and the fish, so you've done the good part in this story, so I'm gonna bless you. No, he uses this child, this boy, to nourish everybody. I don't know about you, but that sort of stops me for a minute and goes, that's actually pretty huge. They came to take, yet Jesus gave so much. And then I started to think about the Last Supper. When I think about Jesus and the context of his life, Jesus, the man who fed, who nourished, who ate with the people no one else wanted to eat with, I realised that Jesus' final words to his disciples were not a formal church service with a couple of cups and some bread. Rather, Jesus was there and he was saying to them, this is how you're going to keep it all together. This is how you're going to keep the nourishment going. And then I started to see that in my life, and perhaps you would see this too, there are many occasions where there's been a little boy standing on the sidelines with some bread and some fish that we haven't expected. To me, the fish and the bread remind us of the creativity of Jesus' miracle-working power. Communion's not merely a way of remembering. It's also the very expression of life in Christ. So we live this ritual at the table, and yes, it's about remembering Jesus. But perhaps we're also called to reimagine our lives together. Perhaps we're called not to look at the crowd and say, whoa, this is overwhelming, or the task and say, whoa, this is overwhelming. Instead, we need to ask Jesus to show us where the boy is. Where are the loaves? Where are the fish? Where is this little boy in our community? And I reckon it's a nice little message for a church like us who we're basically on the cusp. We are, I suppose, trying to reimagine ourselves as a community, and that's one of the things we were going to be talking about this morning. How are we going to reimagine Westgate? And I reckon it's going to be some kind of move of the spirit that we don't really expect. It's got to be that little boy with the bread and the fish that Jesus says, actually, let's use these people. I've recently been watching the Lego movie with my daughter Zoe. And I don't know if many of you are familiar with it, but there's this scene in the movie. The whole movie's about this man, and he has a basement, and it's filled with, you know, imagine the show Lego Masters. It's filled with all these, you know, Lego cities all throughout it. They're all built up to perfection. They're all built to plan, so to speak. And he's got this basement full of amazing Legos. And his son goes down, and his son wants to create stuff, yeah? His son's thinking, oh, he's trying to make stories within his dad's vast Lego village. And his son wants to make stories, but the problem is he needs to pull apart some of his dad's Lego to make those stories. And he's getting all creative, and he's creating characters and worlds within the world, and his dad is not happy. All of his amazing, perfect, purpose-built, made with instruction Lego is being pulled apart by his son to make other things. So what does the father do? Can you imagine what he does? He gets the glue. He gets the craggle. He gets the glue out, and he starts gluing all of the Lego pieces together so that the boy can't create anything new. And I thought, what a wonderful story. What an amazing example of how most of us like to live in structure and order. I wonder how many church communities have the craggle, have the crazy glue, and they are gluing things together to say, this is the way we have always done it. Let's glue it together. I just thought that was a pretty cool show for my daughter to introduce me to, but I thought it's a really interesting image. It's a really interesting example of what we sometimes do, not only in churches, in our everyday lives as well. This is the way, you know, every weekend we clean the house, we don't go see anyone, or every weekend we we go to church. Good job, Zoe. See, she's good. Actually, Zoe said something really profound to me this morning. I said, do you think that we can do communion anywhere else? She said, oh, we could do it in the park. And I thought, what theology did we teach our kids a couple of weeks ago as part of our church? You know, what were we teaching them theologically? That church is outside of this building. And I just thought that was quite profound. Anyway, that's a side note. Lego movie. If you haven't seen it, it's great. I go, it's on Netflix. Anyway, so here we are as a community. We're on the cusp of reimagining ourselves. And I wonder, what will this meal mean to you this morning? What will it spark in you? Yes, communion is sacred. It's mystical, but it's very grounded in our everyday existence. It's about our shared life with each other that extends to everyone we meet. It's the meal on our Monday nights. It's our coffees with each other after church. It's our extravagant meals with family and friends. But the nourishment that Jesus brings, the nourishment is found in the places, the people, and the creativity that Jesus uses to feed the many. So perhaps as we reimagine our community and how our future will be shaped, the challenge is to look outside the boxes, the ideas of conventional communion, the ideas that we've perhaps built to plan over years and years. The challenge is not to give in to fear, just because that's the way things have always been done. The challenge is to see the impossible. And I wonder, will we be part of Jesus's nourishment, or will we merely sit in the crowd waiting to be fed? Now, guys, I've asked the kids to do a special task for me. Are you guys, have you got anything you can decorate our beautiful communion table with? Would you like to bring it up and maybe tell us what it is? Look at this. These guys are Lego masters. It's pretty good. Thanks, Tim. Might need to make a little room for it. Do you need any help? I'll come and help you. I love how involved the kids can be in as part of our service, as much or as little as they want to. All right, we're going to now perhaps sing a song by way of reflecting on communion before we come and we share it together. I'm not sure what the song is. Come as you are. And if you want to stand and stretch your legs, feel free to, guys.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. All who come to me shall not hunger. All who believe in me shall not thirst. With Christians around the world and throughout the centuries, we gather around these symbols of bread and wine, simple elements that speak of nourishment and transformation.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you are as close to us as breath, and that your love is constant and unfailing. We thank you for all that sustains life, especially for Jesus Christ, who teaches us how to live out an ethic of justice and peace. And for the promise of transformation made manifest in his life, death and resurrection. We ask you to bless this bread and this cup through this meal and make us the body of Christ that we may join with you in promoting the well-being of all creation. Amen.
Thank you, Zoe. Would you like to come and take your bread and your wine? And we will then join together in eating and drinking.
We remember on the night when Jesus and the disciples had their last meal together. Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat it, and as often as you do, remember me." Feel free to eat. In the symbol of the broken bread, we participate in the life of Christ and dedicate ourselves to being his disciples. In the same way, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the new covenant poured out for you and for many. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's drink together as a community. In the symbol of the cup, we participate in the new life that Christ brings. Let us pray.
Let us pray. We give thanks, loving God, that you have refreshed us at your table. Strengthen our faith. Increase our love for one another, as we have been fed by the seed that became grain and then became bread. May we go out into the world to plant seeds of justice, transformation, and hope. Amen.
Our last song is the Christmas blessing song, and it's really a children's blessing as well as a blessing for all of us. So I wonder, the children that can read, if you can get a song sheet and have a look at the last song. It starts off with, "May the feet of God walk with you." And we know that God doesn't really have feet, does he? But that God lives in us and in each other, and that we are also the feet of God. And so this blessing is reminding us that God comes to us in many ways and blesses us in many ways through other people and through life. So we're going to sing this blessing three times, and I invite you to look around and sing the blessing to each other, because we do bless each other in community, but also to think of someone in your life or people who have been on your heart, and to send out this blessing to them. So the guys have done a beautiful version, and we'll sing it first with the guitar, and then they'll do some beautiful a cappella, but we'll stay seated for this one.
May the feet of God walk with you, and his hand hold you tight. May the eye of God rest on you, and her ear hear you cry. May the smile of God be before you, and his breath give you life. May the child of God grow in you, and her love bring you home.
God, the Creator, loves you, loves all of us deeply. We are blessed. And so be blessed and go and bless others. Amen.
Love you the less.